The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, break, tell it, grieve me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're death. If they find smoke, Dayton, bro.
Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Dayton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shabby don't ever give in.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to a special edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, MPJP, so many different names. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. It's just a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful show called Inside the Inner City. I was given a great opportunity to talk about the inner city on Guardian Radio. And I'm sure by now who have been listening to me for many, many years, not only on Guardian Radio, but Gems Radio, Zedness News, Steve McKinney, anywhere I go, I always talk about the conditions that our people face in the country. And I'm always trying to find solutions to the country's problem. But I also talk about the invisible stuff, like what is happening now in our country. I always talk about the invisible stuff, and anything you do in the dark will come out the light. Okay, so today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about last week. 72-year-old grandmother was sexually assaulted and raped. Prior week, we had a 12-year-old from Anantaral School who was also sexually molested and raped and murdered. And before we get into that, then we are going to talk about the comments made by the Prime Minister concerning the situation concerning the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. We'll also comment on the Minister of National Security, what he comment on. And then we just let the show flow from there. But boy, so many people couldn't wait for this Friday. They just wanted me to come on the radio because they said, man, you say these things and they are actually happening. So this is a real life show. I'm talking about real life. I'm talking about things that affect us in the country. But I bring it to the airwaves because a lot of people out there don't want to talk about the problems. But I be spot on. I be spot on. And I get right to the point of what the corruption and what the lack of poverty is doing to our country. Before I begin, I'd just like to give a shout out to my good friend Maestro, who is the creator of the song that you see playing on the airwaves, Dayton. He is also a part of this international weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 29th, 2004, home base launch. It's on Ponciano Avenue and Market Street. I think it's, you can give a $10 donation, could get you in. There are a lot of different artists along with Maestro that will be in attendance. So it's going to be a wonderful time at Home Base Lounge, Ponciana Avenue on Market Street, where we have a lot of Bahamian musicians who are very talented but showcase the event. Wow. Okay. Today's going to be a hot topic, so let me see where I can start from. Okay. We're going to start from last week. Could we play the voice video clip for me, Chris, please? And then we will begin the show. Speak on that.
Pastor Cleveland Wells of the Restoration Kingdom Ministries did make a report to the Carmichael Road Police Station last week, Tuesday afternoon, after he received a tip from a member of the community about hearing sounds and screams and cries on Monday evening. Fernando seemingly clearing the air after Assistant Commissioner of Police Shavargo Dames told reporters last week that no report or call was made. This was reportedly the same area where 12-year-old Adriel Moxie was killed.
Yes, yes. Yes, we did. We did, and it was checked. But no, we came up nothing. If you visit that scene that night, man, you could hardly see a hand in front of you. And we was able to check. When they got there, the pastor had already left. But yes, the pastor did, in fact, went into Carmichael Road Station. We have confirmed that.
Yeah, there were reports circling that a pastor called into the station, concerns that he got from a neighbor, that they heard screams and shouting and someone asking for help. And an officer who on the clip, video clip, you could hear him saying that, you know, they did not receive none as yet, didn't receive no call. And so the commissioner, in response, they must he check and see that the call was made to control room concerning the disturbance. And many people are questioning and saying that, you know, if the police did respond in a timely fashion, maybe they could have saved the life of the young 12-year-old. Well, while I do agree, right, and as the commissioner stated, our patrol was sent, but it was so very dark. Now, I could also agree that if the police did respond in a timely manner, and that timely manner had to be in anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, people, okay? Because people are saying, you know, the police came a little later. What I want people to understand is that I feel that the minute that little girl left and turned to the shortcut, and she was screaming, I think it took about 5 to 10 minutes for the individual, the 32-year-old who was charged before the court to sexually assault her, rape her, and then strangle her to death. I think we have to take that in consideration. I think that a timely response, you know, within the 5-10 minutes could have probably scared the culprit off. But I think by the time the damage is already done. You know, and when the police did probably when suspects probably saw the lights. And, you know, there's a lot of bush, and like the commissioner said, that you could have put your hand up in front of your eyes and that you couldn't see nothing. So to me, I think that she was already dead within that 5 to 10 minute period. And that even if the police did respond as quickly as they could, I think it would have been too late because that perpetrator already had his plans and he took the life of that innocent 12-year-old. And it's very sad in our country. But I also stated last week that I would bet that the persons involved in the incidents had to be a repeated offender. And just like that, when I listened to the news, a suspect who was held in custody, you know, he wasn't even being questioned because he was acting erratic. He also fighting police. And come to find out, he has a mental health issue and he has a green card. So he's in and out of prison, put back on the streets, and he's prying around that community that he probably reside in. anyone who you see vulnerable, like a youngster, old person. See, I know these persons. I know that person who commit these offenses are persons who have done 15 to 20 years in prison. And if they're not properly rehabilitated, and like I said, 90% of inmates at the correctional center will eventually come out and go back in these community. And I said that we'd have more Marco Archer, we'd have more Cordell Stotts, like in Freeport, in the country that Friday. And that Friday night, we could play the next video clip, please.
I wish to again extend condolences to the family of 72-year-old Venetia Butler, who was killed during the early hours on Saturday, the 23rd of November, 2024. I also wish to inform that the autopsy has been completed and that the cause of death has been determined as asphyxia due to strangulation. I also wish to confirm that the victim was sexually assaulted and found with internal injuries. Again, we are actively investigating this matter and expect to have the suspect before the courts in the shortest possible time.
And later on that night, I said it earlier on the show that Friday, and later on that night, Ms. Butler, who just came from celebrating her sister's birthday, just had a wonderful time. She left, got dropped home. And her sister called her before she entered the door, I guess, and asked if she was all right. And she stated that she made it home safe because people are concerned about the crime issue in the country, and especially murder. And she said that was she okay upon entering her home, based on the police report. A culprit his age was 25 years of age, 25 years old, was found in her apartment, and Mrs. Butler was pronounced dead. Now, if you look at both of these cases, they are similar. Both got strangled. Both got preyed on, both got sexually assaulted. We had a 12-year-old and we had a 70-year-old. Now, if this don't send a sign to the country that the prison has a serious problem and that we're in danger from those coming out of prison who have these criminal offenses and coming back in society, I don't know what we're going to do to correct the problem. Like I stated before, with 1,700 inmates in prison, if we don't get that population down to about 200, I don't know how we're going to do it. We are all in danger in this country because we're going to have sexual predators who are doing long time in prison, who up at the prison have become monsters. You know, because it's all males up there and all goes on in the prison up there. It's survival. There are no women in prison. So a guy who's doing 15, 25, what do you think he's going to be doing in the prison? He's going to be there for sexual intercourse. He's going to be raping in prison. But we're not serious in the country. We're talking about 90% of the inmates coming back on the streets of Nassau and not properly rehabilitated in communities that are vulnerable, in communities that don't have no community centers. They don't have a village. Poverty is all around, abandoned houses, no togetherness. So what these individuals, in their mindset, when they come out of prison, they look for the most vulnerable. See, that's the two cases you need to look at. Look how the 12-year-old was targeted. Look at the 72-year-old, Ms. Butler, was targeted. Why? 72-year-old, fragile, she's just like a baby. So they look at all the individuals and they decided to prey on the most vulnerable and the most vulnerable in the country are the kids and the elderly. My condolences goes out to Mrs. Butler's family. It's written in our community. My condolences goes out to the 12-year-old as well. No, it's sad in our country. But the thing is, the one who is accused and charged before the court for the 12-year-old, he is a silent patient. So ain't nothing much gonna happen to him. So if we're looking for justice for the 12-year-old, he ain't gonna be no justice. Then if we look at the young man who killed Ms. Butler, who was 32 years of age, the commissioner was talking and with the footage, and you could see the 32-year-old, the 25-year-old was roaming that particular community all night. And then he saw Ms. Butler coming home. And he ran in the back of the building and he climbed through the window. It didn't look like it'd be no justice either, because they say he was on drugs and et cetera and et cetera. You know, it's just sad in our country. You know, sad in our country. And I said it last week, because I see this happening on a yearly basis where guys come out of prison. I've been seeing this from when I was involved in gang activity in the streets. I've seen numerous guys with the same mentality. See, there are certain kind of criminals. You have some guys who would just sell drugs, but they ain't no gangsters. Then you have some guys who sell drugs and they like to be involved in violent crimes. Okay? Then you have some guys who are criminals, but they are not rapists, and they don't like rapists. Okay? So they're different categories. And these guys that I'm talking about, who you see do these two particular heinous crimes, they are monsters. Okay? They prey on the most vulnerable. And we have a lot of them at the Bahamas Correctional Facility. And they are going to come back. Who they are, I mean, we don't know who they are, because it's so much. The new prison superintendent, John Clare, you know, I'm a part of the Ministry of National Security Advisory Board. I'm part of the David Allen team and Kiva Battle. And I go in and I get briefings and media buy input. And the superintendent, John Clare, I think he's doing a fantastic job. He tells you about the mental health prisoners that they have at the Bahamas Correctional. All right? He talks about it. And 90% are gonna come out. So if you're saying do the time and spend the time, people, that ain't working. We have to find a way to get ahead of the problem. Now, before I begin my second part of the show, I just wanna add this in. What drives a 25-year-old to be on drugs at 25 years of age and in and out of prison and to do a heinous crime like that? What drives a 32-year-old, I don't know, for him to target a 12-year-old and assault, rape, and kill her by strangulation? Both of them got killed the same way. So it tells you that we are more like them in this country. And every 2-3 years, we're going to have incidents like this in the country, because we're always going to be at risk as long as people get released from prison with that mental health issue. And the guy on the 32-year-old who they say was not even responding to police questioning. The commissioner said this young gentleman, the police couldn't even talk to him. The doctor, he went by silence, and the doctors couldn't do nothing with him. So the thing they're going to do is probably charge him and put him in silence, and then a year later on, you know, he may get some time in prison. But by him having a green card or pink card, we used to call it. I mean, the pink card. Ain't nothing much we could do with him. So if you have people like this who coming out mentally ill, out of the prison, and coming back in society to wreak havoc on society on a yearly basis, we are in big trouble in this country. Big trouble, people. Because we get some animals out there. And we have sexual predators who come out of the prison. Sexual predators. See, these are different from drug dealers. They're different from guys who are shooting. These guys probably got taken advantage of at the prison. Okay? Got raped in the prison. And they're the lower class means that they had no scribes means that anyone could have taken advantage of them. So when they get the opportunity to be in charge or in control, they take their opportunity. And you can see their actions. The 12-year-old and the 70-year-old. And like I said, both of them got killed the same way by two individuals with the same mindset. And like I said it Friday, I said I would bet that the person responsible for the 12-year-old was a repeated offender. And come later on that night, 70-year-old Miss Butler got do the same way. And we have more of those individuals who will be coming out and roaming our streets. So if we don't build stronger communities, if we don't empower people to be business owners and work together in their community as a village, then we all are going to be crying. We all are going to be sorry for the 12-year-old. We all are going to be sorry for the 70-year-old. We all going to be sorry for Marco Archer, the four guys in Freeport with Cordell Stewart. Next year or two, we'd have an incident like this again and we'd be up in arms again. But you see, we're not going to win this. We can't win this because if the statistics showing you that 90% of inmates are going to come out, right, and they are not being properly rehabilitated, then we're going to have a reoccurrence of a Marco Archer and those four boys in Freeport, or four boys in Freeport from different individuals. Okay? So we have to do some serious soul searching and find an alternative solution. And I think the only way we're going to do that, if we can find a way and put our interest on how we could stop young men and young females from going to prison at an early age. And we have to find a way how we can deduct that 1,700 inmates that are in prison. And the sad part about it, and the most serious part about it, people, is listen to this. We have 1,700 in prison. But how much people do you think are on bail? We might have 1,700 in prison that are in custody. But when I listened the other day, they said, how much people was on murders? How much people was on armed robberies? Okay? How much people was on drug charges in the country? And that could be in the thousands. So besides the 1,700 that are in prison, we could triple that with how much people are on bail. So if we look at a 1,700 in prison, right? Then when you look at who on bail, you're looking anywhere from 15 to 20 or 30,000 people are on bail for different various serious crime or more. But they're out there. Okay? And prison can't hold all these inmates. Cannot. So we're in some serious trouble in the country. Okay, now I'm going to the second part of the show. Well, just recently, what is making waves around the country, just recently we have had a senior police officer again involved in some serious charges in the United States of America. He's looking at possession of cocaine, possession of a firearm, and possession of usage of firearm. Also, I think a conspiracy to import both drugs and firearm in the country. Now, Remember, on Defense Force officer on since the arrest, a high-ranking police official, he has talked and he has implicated a certain politician of the government. And you remember I told you that a few times on the show, I said that MPs use their position of power. They'd use immigration, they'd use customs, you know, to do business transaction with companies that come in the country. And they make a profit off it. And I also stated that, you know, some of them are very talented lawyers and they had their profession, you know, before they got in politics. But at the end of the five-year term, when any government come in, PLP or FNM, I feel that close to $1 billion goes missing to the treasury every 5 years if government change or not. I don't know where it's go, but that's how I feel. And I feel that it goes in the hands of the politicians who are in power. Some way, somehow, either going to build a house or some kind of deal is going on there. They're going to work for some type of business arrangement. Okay? So, let me see how I can put this. Boy, this is a deep one. So, the senior cop, since he's in custody, because you know the U.S. don't play, they were doing an investigation in 2021. This officer is in charge of the airport. He's in charge of the plane and et cetera. And it's stating an indictment that... let's see what it says in the indictment. Let me read it. Or the Nassau Guardian. It says here, officers discuss plan to transport money from U.S. to the Bahamas. All right? The Bahamian police officers extensively discuss how they would use their position of power. Remember I said the position of power? Remember I said this last week and week before last, people? I speak right on. All right? I don't know who the individual is, but I know as government, they use their position of power. All right? And it says here, their position of power to transport drug money from Florida into the Bahamian, into the Bahamas using Bahamian government or military aircraft. So that means they're using the Royal Bahamas Defense Force plane or they're using the Royal Bahamas Police Force plane or they're using the boats. And this is nothing new. Just a few weeks ago, I said it. I said that I could remember around the Commission of Inquiry where there was this chief lieutenant. What his name was? I can't remember his name. But anyway, Lamiel Gibson. Okay? And he was the drug, he was the Defense Force, one of the Defense Force senior officers, and he normally would be old patrol out there. Out to sea. And he, so his name was called, and when they checked his account, you know, he had so much money, he had so much houses and stuff like that, but working as a Defense Force officer, it's impossible for him to get those proceeds to build those houses and et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera. So after the investigation was done, he was penalized, I think, if I'm correct. So we had people who were supposed to be protecting the Bahamian waters. We're talking about the Royal Bahamas Defense Force is involved in illegal activities. So you're asking how the guns get in the country. Now you're seeing how the guns get in the country. It getting in the country from the people who are supposed to be protecting and serving you. And I've been saying it from day one. Now I can't tell you who the individual is because I know it's the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We can't say that one bad apple. It's many bad apples on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Okay, and I'm going to comment more on it. Many bad apples on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And they ain't learning. Their time is done. for doing illegal activities because it's affecting us. Those guns and stuff that they bring in on the Royal Bahamas Defense Force boat or the Royal Bahamas Police Force plane or the Royal Bahamas Defense Force plane, they use their position as members of the armed forces and the joint venture between the United States and other places in the world. They get free access into the ports. And they're working deals, alleged working deals with Colombians. And they're bringing guns in the country. So you're wondering why so much guns on the streets. Now you see how the guns get on the streets? I've been saying it. Now you see how the guns get on the streets? Port of entry. Look who the people are. And the sad part about it is when they bring these drugs and guns in the country, who do these guns and drugs? Where do they end up? In the hands of at-risk youths. So if you look at this, some of the murders in the country, they are responsible for. So the senior officer could be responsible for so much deaths in the country. Because he himself was dealing illegal activity, accused of dealing illegal activity. So when they bring these guns and the town and these drugs, they're going to disperse them. Camp Road, Fox Hill, Grandstand. And then when you see someone get killed in the nose and et cetera, it's the police and the defense force. It's not every police. It's not every defense force officer. But basically, every police officer knows what goes on. But they can't stop it, because if you talk, you'd be missing too. Because it's a fraternity. But anyway, that's all I gotta say. Corruption is at its highest in the country. I don't want to say to the guys who are there on the streets, you guys ain't bad. Why is y'all going out there taking one 25 or 5 grand to go and kill an innocent person? 5 grand. You see what these guys going for? 2 million, 1.5. You guys need to hang it up with them guns and drugs out there and try to be like the chief superintendent or the defense force officer, because they're looking for millions. So y'all ain't saying nothing. So stop taking them contracts out there and hurting the innocent people. Try learning something off some of the senior officers in the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Okay? Because they can teach you a thing how it is to be bad. You know? They can teach you a thing. You guys play out, man. Y'all only taking hits for little 2-5 grand, man. You see what these officers are dealing with? 2 million, 3 million, But anybody, let me play the comment. In response to let me play the video clip and see the response of the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis.
Let there be no doubt. The Bahamian people deserve accountability for every act of betrayal committed during this time. The tree will be shaken until every bad apple falls. To those who believe they can outsmart the systems of justice and intelligence, let this serve as a clear and stern warning. The days of operating in the shadows are over. You will be found and you will be held accountable. To that end, I've directed the Minister of Foreign Affairs to issue a diplomatic note requesting further details about allegations involving a high-ranking Bahamian politician. Such allegations demand thorough investigation and no stone be left unturned in seeking the truth.
Well, you know me, you know, I kind of like the Prime Minister, but I ain't the Prime Minister talk, man. I ain't talking a bunch of bull crap. You understand? Because they ain't serious. You know, how much warning do you need to get, sir? We had an inspector charged with pulling over a car and taking over close to $100,000 off a citizen. Now he's on administrative leave. We had on the Family Islands, I think last year, where we had an officer, inspector, who was running that part of the Family Island, was apprehended on a sting operation by FBI agents involving drug smuggling. A year prior, we had an ex-inspector or superintendent charged for the same offense. We had a police officer who was on the run as we speak right now, who was given bail by the court, involved in he was involved in a shooting and got brought guilty for murder by manslaughter. Okay? I think he killed an innocent young man and then planted evidence. Then that's just when he's a police officer. Now, why is he still a police officer, not on duty, but probably off duty? The same officer, again, tried to shoot up some guys. I think they might have shot one or two. And his colleagues, fellow officers, gave chase. And he opened fire on them as well. And they was able to apprehend him. And he ended up before the court. Now he is on the run. We have had numerous incidents of senior cops on the Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Prime Minister saying bad apple. And you ain't do nothing about none of these officers. We just had Chief Superintendent Johnson, head of the Criminal Investigation Department at CDU. We haven't heard nothing from that incident where he was accused of telephone conversation with guys who robbed the bank. All right? I mean, man, I know. It's crazy. Now, all of a sudden now, the Prime Minister said that you're working in the shadows. Remember I told you all invisible BMN people? Remember I told you about invisible? Now you're in the Prime Minister in the shadows. You know how long this stuff is being going on in our country. You know how long some of these senior cops is involved in illegal activity in this country and just got away with it because of their position of power. And you know who hide them? The Royal Bahamas Police Force and the politicians hide them. Some knowingly and unknowingly. So you're trying to tell me that the force is responsible for many deaths in this country because the guns that they bring in the country illegally goes in the hands of at-risk youths who was deprived of an opportunity to have a good life because the powers to be didn't give them the opportunity and educate them properly and empower them properly. So now with these guns, you could take out of rivalry. And there's a black on black. And look who's responsible. Bahamians on Bahamians. All of these cases that involve high-ranking senior officers and the Prime Minister come on the news. And you know, Mr. Davis, all you all fail the Bahamian people. You might be governing good in some arena. But there's many arenas, sir. You're not qualified for the job, honestly speaking. Because, like I said, how many senior officers are being charged for serious offenses? Now, I'm not seeing no one from the Royal Bahamas Police Force come on and say, we had an officer charged with robbery. We had an officer who shoot at police on the run. We have a ASP Johnson who's in charge of the Criminal Investigation Department. You know, is alleged to be involved in a conspiracy use his position of power to get funds from the guys who are responsible for robbing the airport. And he's supposed to be protecting and serving and protecting the Bahamian people. But he is waking with the guys on the streets. And then when you listen, these guys are dead. Then when you look at the airport, but the same officer not charged before, charged in the United States of America. He is not coming back. You could forget about it. He doesn't talk. And when I listen, they're saying anywhere, they're going to the New York district, they're going to the New York court, and I think they're going to New York court, and the penalty they're looking at is 25, 10 years, 25, and then life imprisonment. So he get catch red on it. So he's squealing. So he looking to spend 10 years. So he ain't coming back no time soon. So this is going deep. There's going to be indictment for many people in this country because a lot of Royal Bahamas Defense Force officers also got to be indicted because they was part of the operation too. This goes deep. It ain't just these individuals. Just go deep. This is a few team people involved in this, and this goes deep. You're hearing about how they're going to use their position of power to get the drugs in the country. So they're gonna block customs, okay? They're going to block the point of entry and let it be a smooth sailing to bring the illegal stuff. For the key to America, because that's where the money is, a key in America, in Florida, anywhere from 17,000, probably 20 grand. And if it hit America, you could get anywhere from 30. Then if it go upstate, you might could get 40 for a key. So it's big money involved. The further up you go, the more value the drugs. And then in return, they agreed for $2 million. And they also embezzling. So they're using the Defense Force boat, they're using the Royal Bahamas Police Force plane, or whatever it is there. And they're using those Bahamian taxpayers' money, the planes and boat that we paying tax for, they're using that as a position of power to get through all of the green light means that they ain't gonna get checked. So it's a smooth sailing from Colombian drug lords. FARC. And it's called FARC. FARC. You know how long FARC been around? It's crazy. And the Prime Minister, the Honorable Prime Minister, said there's gonna be no stone unturned, and he has written a letter to the U.S. stating that, you know, he's going to cooperate. You have no choice but to cooperate. Okay? You have no choice because now this office is locked up in the United States of America, so you don't have no choice. You had a choice with Johnson. You had a choice with the next senior officer who steal the money from an individual, and he had to report it. Where were you then? Huh? Where were you? Mr. Prime Minister, like I say, I'm talking on this particular matter. Governing the country is one thing, right? You're governing on good on some things in the country. You might win the next election. That's all good. But this corruption now, you're not going to run away from this. And all of y'all are a part of it. You might not be directly a part of it, so. But you allowed it because it's a party politics thing. I told you, a lot of these officers who you see have these positions, they didn't deserve to have these positions. There are good, decent officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force who are denied promotion because they're not a part of the PLP. Excuse me. They're not a part of the FNM. Right? So because they're not part of none of these organizations, they are overlooked. And that's a slow process. So you, both parties, when they get in, it's the cause of this. Because when they get elected, the first thing they do, they will remove the commissioner of police. They may move the commodore at the defense force. Why? Because they need their people in place to make sure that they have control over the police and control over the defense force. So if you use a PLP government, right? What part do you think the commissioner of police You think he's a part of a body? Huh? Don't you think he's a part of a body? Don't you? You don't see him? Huh? Huh? Some of these positions in our country are not, they are politically motivated. They put their people in place so that they could overlook the wrongness that they are doing so that they cannot be persecuted. But you might do it over here for so long, but you see the U.S. was watching from 2021. And the surprising part about it is the same officer was in charge of the airport. So you're trying to tell me now, who's supposed to be protecting and serving, was using the airport, was using the plane and its diplomatic immunity as a senior police officer to actually be involved in criminal activities. How could you be sitting on in police headquarters and you yourself now is being accused of drugs and firearm, but yet still, y'all don't get a young guy over 4 years for a firearm that he didn't go to the U.S. He didn't go on the plane to the U.S. and bring the gun back from the U.S. The gun's getting in the country from all type of entry points. And this shows you, this is one of the main reasons guns come in the country. And I always wonder why the guns ain't getting bust in abundance. But we have most 90% of 95% of the murders committed in the country are done by firearm. It's because people in high places are involved in illegal activity and they use their position of power as a way to get it done. It's crazy, people. It's crazy, Ocho. It's dangerous. And then when you look at the airport situation, and I was reading the paper, I didn't want to like call the name too much, and then there was this young man who was killed by the airport.
Ferguson.
Guy. And the same officer who's now being held in custody by the FBI in the United States of America, he was in charge of the airport. And at the same time, up in the same time period, we had the situation with Johnson. And then all those guys who were involved in the bank robbery are now deceased. So it seems to me all this was tying. So we might even have the police involved with murder over here and all. Hmm? Y'all listening? We have no more video clip day. That was today. And then, you know, I heard the Minister of National Security, he was on Morning Blend. And, you know, in the indictment, it states that a high-ranking member of parliament, you know, is also involved in this indictment. And I guess the Honorable Minister of National Security, Vian Monroe, you know, he wanna it more looking like his way because he was missing the parliament, I think, Wednesday, and this incident happened like Thursday. So people assume it was him. But he make it real clear that it was not him. And the people are asking for his resignation because these incidents happened under his watch. Now, I don't know what kind of Minister of National Security you is, but y'all have plenty of information on guys on the streets. You're trying to tell me in the law enforcement agency that you are in charge of, you don't know of corrupt officers doing international crimes. And you say it's up to the Prime Minister to remove you from your position. I would have stepped down because, like I say, we all be humans. But I'm not the Minister of National Security. I'm not the Commissioner of Police. these things happen under you guys. You guys watch. So probably both of you need to step down, because the both of you have failed to be human people. And y'all have not given a good response. The only thing y'all are saying is bad apples. But these bad apples been in the forest for over 40 years. Some of them. So if they are involved in these crimes, how long do you think they have been doing it? And how many lives have they destroyed by using their position of power? This guy was running the airport. He in charge of the aviation department of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And he working with the Defense Force officer. And two of them squealing now. Because I tell you, they finish. The U.S. don't go after you unless they have all the evidence. So, when ASP got locked up in Florida, when he sat down to the table, the investigators tell him, we get you. We don't need you to tell us nothing. We get you. We get the phone recording. We get you with the money. We get you with the drugs. We don't need nothing from you. Now, what you can do, if you don't want to make it easy on yourself, and let's give you a plea bargain, give us some of your connections, because we know it ain't just you. And the guy, he spoke. He said, IMP. He said that, make it easier for the protection coming and going. So how long that been going on? Remember I told you about Lemon Gibson? That was way back in the 80s and 90s when we had the Commission of Inquiry. So nothing has changed. So if you're looking at all the guns and most of the crimes happening in the country, you could say it's on the Defense Force. And you could say because of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, and you could say it because of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They're responsible. You wonder why all these guns coming in the country? So the Prime Minister's word, to me, don't mean nothing. I think the Prime Minister is a decent man. I think that now that this international incident happened, he wants to say no stone unturned. But sir, you already failed to be many people. He's saying now he's going to put legislation in place to combat corruption, and that no matter your position or rank on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, no matter the rank, if you're Royal Bahamas Police Force and you violate the integrity of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, that they have an independent body to investigate you, along with the inspectorate body of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. That's a no-no, because we don't trust that as well. He's talking about private partners who would go and probably investigate. I've always said this. You need an organization of people that are not a part of the PLP, not a part of the FNM. Just people we pick out society. And even if they are part of the PLP or part of the FNM, they put that aside. And they are patriots for the country. And their job is to review cases. Review intelligence of any corrupt police officers, any corrupt politicians. They present it. They collect all the evidence. They present it and put these people before the court, just like how you put me before the court. You know how much time you've been before the court? If I do something illegal and I get catch, I have to go to court and defend myself. So why is it so different? You catch a young guy on the road, you catch him with a handgun. He getting 4 years. But we have people who bringing in tons of cocaine and assortment of firearms in the country. Who's supposed to be protecting and serving you? And then these guns enter the Bahamas. Because when these drugs reach, these guys them who bring the drugs in, who these officers or the organization who they connected to, they need guns to protect their drugs. So that's why they bring in the guns from Florida and bring them to the Bahamas. And then they put them in the hands of guys who selling drugs for them. Then if someone wants to kill somebody, well, the guns are there. So now the persons get access to guns, and the access to guns coming from people in high up. Even in the office of the prime minister, we had one or two persons in the office of the prime minister charged with possession of a gun in the office of the prime minister's office. I think about a year back. Then I think it was a lady get charged last year also from the office of the prime minister. Two people, I think, got charged from the office of the prime minister involved with illegal guns in the country. Why is that? Because the party. See, when people get in this party thing, well, like the prime minister, I said PLP, right? And I know the commissioner, I know this one, I know this one, I know this one. So you get a lot of things in your favor. And this year, corrupts you. Boy, I know what we could do. I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, the officers discussing plan to transport money from the U.S. and in exchange they get firearms and $2 million. Jesus, Lord. You see how corrupt we is as a country? You know, most people listen to me, being listened to me, and they don't like the way how I talk about these things. I talk about these things because I know these things been happening in the country. Just like I said Friday. No, I said Friday, I would bet you that the persons who was involved in a heinous crime would be a person who came with a prison. And I said, later that night, a 70-year-old Miss Butler got killed by a 25-year-old who ain't in out of jail. So I know the problems that the country face. There's not a lot of brave people out there who would speak the way I speak. And I always remember, you know, I wasn't just a gangster. I was a drug dealer. And when you're a gangster, when you're a top gangster, you have some of the most serious set of criminals come to you. You know how much, listen to me, good people. When I was a top guy on the streets, whether I was selling drugs or a top gangster in the Border Boys, if you know how many serious criminals came to me and looked up to me, it's alarming. If I walk in Fox Hill Prison right now, you would see just about all the guys in the hailing me. You understand? So when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you from experience. Our country is corrupt, and it's about time that these things happen. You know, I'm sorry for the ASP, you know, because we all be immigrants. But like I said, you know, boy, it's crazy. It's crazy, you know. And then I listen to the commissioner. You know, he's talking. Mr. Commissioner, this happened in the year, what, sir? You trying to tell me you ain't know none of this? It takes the U.S. to come and set them up in America. Huh? You talking about trust? Listen, don't get me wrong now. The police is still a great organization. Because in these two incidents where we see the 12-year-old girl got killed, they did the investigation. They got the culprit. With the 70-year-old Miss Butler, they did the investigation. They get the culprits. Right? But what I'm saying overall, we need the police. But the corruption and no penalty is killing us because, like I said, when the PLP get in, they want to put in their commissioner of police. All right? If you was the F&M commissioner, you go on in 2 years in that administration, just like the governor general. Because we are the party and we want our people in place, so we have full control. And that's why a lot of people get away with corruption, because they're in this party. They know the prime minister, they know the commissioner, so they use that. But guess what? That is done in this country. And I'm glad the prime minister stated that, but to tell you the truth, Prime Minister, you dropped the ball. Commissioner, you dropped the ball. Minister of National Security, you dropped the ball. I tell you the truth, you guys should send in your resignation because y'all have failed to be human people because these are y'all organization. And if it take the U.S. to come in here and send an indictment, now you're going to respond to it. We can take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
God bless you. Good night, Inner City Ambassador.
Hey, what do you say? What do you say, brother? 52.
Inner City Ambassador.
Yes, sir.
Respect, my brother. So, I mean, you know, like, I'm not glad for the situation.
No, I'm not.
Truly still, right? Because, you know, even as little young men growing up on the road, right, Scoochie?
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Some of them was always cool with us, right?
Yes.
So we know who they are, but what I'm saying is when you see the brutality in which they operate for just a joint of marijuana, and then to see these type of other scenarios, it's really frightening, wondering, like, why we hate one another. Some of them just hate, some people just hate you, just get so personal, and you don't even have a right to remain silent in this country, Scoochie. Like, if they lock you up and, you know, you're supposed to give the civilian name, Ray. But after that, really, basically, they just make statements and just, they're not professional at all, most of them. You know, some are, you know. But I like to say this, right, Scoochie? You know about the inner city workers. I know about young youths coming up to you back in the days. They're ready to do this, they're ready to do that, right? Because I know, you know, how it is, some of them will, you know what I'm saying? You just got to be yourself and be glad to be past you them dumb stage. You see what I'm saying? So as we look at these type scenarios in the country, and this should not be surprising, but people like you remember the Alvarez escape from the prison?
Yeah.
You remember the Alvarez escape from the prison?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, the guy that was, the CID guy that was involved in that, he had a boat park around where my parents used to live, and he had locked me up with some problem I had with some young somebody in them days. And, you know, there was a conspiracy, and and it was a lot of, you know, it was a lot of mudslinging during the political era, too. So a lot of things come out, the granny statements and all of that. I don't know if you're old enough to remember them. These things in corroborating, collaboration, or whatever, these are not new schools, but mechanisms must be put in place to safeguard me and you.
Yes.
Because what you're saying is quite frightening, and so then we can ponder and wonder why certain cases are always unsolved.
Mm-hmm.
Then we ask the question, who's involved?
Yes.
We can go and say, Clark. We can go and say Choo Choo. But all they do is just transfer one another, you know. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The police force has adopted attitude of transferring people just here and there. And so the problem remains the same. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So they still have, you know, so I mean, the Beeman people, we cannot speak out, and we have to look out. And so, I mean, you know, I sorry for the guys who are in there who know they're real, but there's so many chain of commands in high position mix up and so much dubious scenarios. I just would even hate to comment on it because, I mean, the writing was on the wall from a long time ago.
Yes.
We saw the situation on National Geographic, right? To catch a smuggler.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have concerned them from then.
And how many...
And then we saw the situation with the case that when they denied that the guy is the officer. And I remember they called it a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Why they called it the something case?
Uh-huh.
The Morris. What's the guy name with the Crooked Island situation?
You mean an inspector?
Yeah, when the case was just in the newspaper the other day when they say he pulled the gun on the guy and when the Coast Guard helicopter swooping and say he set him up and wait. But they didn't put it as police officer. They put it by his surname. So I was
right.
Saying that was an obfuscation.
Right, right.
See what I'm saying? So these things been going on and on and on. So this is really some serious gaslighting.
And I wonder why the Prime Minister comment now when we had inspectors after inspectors, ASP after ASP, involved in serious crimes, but yet still, hey, go ahead.
Pardon me, brother. I'll say this, right? With all of the movements and all of the information circulating on social media, it leaves room for doubt and speculation. That's all I'm saying. You see, my brother,
yes.
I'm trying to be as professional as
possible.
You know what I mean? But you and I know if you was in the bar room, you would have been saying real things. But what I'm saying is, because we've seen these things, and so what I really wanted to touch on, and I forgot this, was I want you to straighten this out. I called a few times, and I talked about the scenario of police officers overstepping civil rights or civil. We don't have no liberties, whereby they pull up on the scene, whatever it be, a homicide, a suicide, whatever, I don't know, caught on our side. And they tell the emergency staff to refrain from helping people who in medical attention. You know, you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Personally, I've seen it. And, you know, a few times. And so, you know, I watched the car arrest on the young man. I mean, he was doing, the police had shot the driver, so the car, he tried to jump out the car, and the car reversed, and he ended up underneath, between the suspect and the car, and underneath the car, and breathing, just grasping all of this. And nobody, just, that was it. You know, this is, he's seeing other situations where people are allowed to bleed out, and they will say, just let him. I mean, how is that? How can that be? So we will hope that something like that will be in the oversight and reform. What you have to say about that? I mean, this is, people are scared to speak up, but this is what goes on.
You come to reform?
This is reform as to who gave them the right to do that, to tell the emergency personnel they can move the person because life is important, and then that could help them with their investigation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you understand that gives too much power when I could give a scenario and paint a scenario in which I actually want the suspect to die.
Yeah, I could give you.
That's what I'm saying.
I give you a prime example.
I mean, why should I have to say these things? I don't. I'm only, not the only person with a little pea brain between my ass.
We see it in the movies as well. My friend James Charles, who was one of the latest of Border Boys, he got shot through Honeycomb Street, and he ended up running through Flint Street. I mean Comfort Street, and he was on the ground, and some officers was there.
That's in the bottom.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was on the ground. And, you know, he wanted water. So when the police officers came, they said, man, that's Chucky. You know what they said? Hey, they tell the ambulance, hey, I'll take you all time. And if it wasn't for us, Chucky wouldn't have been living today.
Because yeah, you talking about little red. Chucky would live to the corner by the laundry mat in the corner.
No, James Charles, run by us. Chucky.
Well, there's two Chucky in.
Yes, couple. I know the next one, too. But I'm talking the one from Border, when he got shot. And he was on the ground, and we said, hey, officer, what you doing? Don't let this guy stay up, man. Come, take this guy in an ambulance. If it wasn't for us, he would have died. You understand what I'm saying? Because they say, we listen to the officer, man, oh, that's Chucky. He's a menace society.
Yeah, but hey, brother, yeah. We're looking for you to really, like, get into these, like, and just keep this up, just to paint a real picture. Send a shout-out to your boy, Melis, man. I like what he's saying with the crop season and weeks he's putting out still.
Paul Melis?
Yeah,
Paul
Melis.
Yes, yes.
That's a brother. Yeah, man.
Yeah, Paul Melis doing a fantastic job. Yeah, you know, and like I said, you know, I'm not here to be hard against the police, you know. It's a tense that they were doing in the dark. You were with the prime minister's stake, you know. He talked about the dark as well. And he said there are going to be consequences. Well, Mr. Prime Minister, your talk is cheap, sir. Put it to action. Commissioner of Police, I'm not saying he need to resign, but based on what has happened on this watch, and he has not addressed the fact of all these officers who have been charged. So, you know, one bad apple. This the whole thing. It's a bunch of bad apples. You know, one bad apple. It's a bunch of them. So how come I ain't known to police? Huh? Got a comment from my friend. He's saying, okay, let me read it. He said, I made a mistake. He said, okay, point of order, big brother, Scoochie. They changed the top or chief man title at the prison to commissioner of correction. So Mr. Don Clare is commissioner of correction instead of superintendent. You're right. You're correct. You know, I be so, you know, so passionate, you know. So thank you very much. Yeah. You know, 52 is talking this now. And but we're in serious trouble. That's all I can say. See, I know these things. And remember, I tell you all, I was a drug dealer. I was selling drugs for 15 years. People, when I got into gangsterism, I went into drug dealing. All right? I used to sell crack cocaine and marijuana. Listen to me. And what I learned, all right, and what I saw with my eyes, and the information come to me from so much different guys who are top guys. So we have discussion. We see things. You know, I don't want to expose all of it, but I'm glad it came out to the light. These things come in the light, and that's how I could talk about it now. You know, because I had to be very careful on how I say certain things, you understand? I wanted it to come out. Remember, I always told you, I don't know who defense force officer, I don't know who police officer. All I know is it's police officers and defense force officers, okay? They were smuggling guns. And I said they do it when they go to sea on their patrol, and when they pull over a U.S. boat, or they pull over a Haitian sloop, and if three or four of them on that boat, they're the judge, jury, and executioner. They can decide if they're going to let somebody go or not. They could say, all right, let me give you a prime. Let me just say this. Let me give you all real evidence. All right? My brother is spending 22 years in Cuba. He was one of the biggest drug smugglers in the country. Call him Taliban. All right? He would run drugs from Haiti, Jamaica, anywhere. You understand? One day, he got locked up in a harbor, Montague. All right? He told me he was going to make a run, right? So he's going to fish him, but he told me he's going to make a run. And I said, brother, just be careful. I said, you need to get out of the business. And that's his trade. You know, I just got to know him, like, in a 10-year period. You know, because like I said, my grandmother took me. My mom had five, six children. And she was on drugs. And she was a irresponsible parent. So my grandmother took me. And then she had five other kids. And she was unable to sustain them or take care of them. So social service came and they took them and they got adopted. So I was about the age of five when they got took. So I couldn't really remember, you know, them like that because we are being apart close to over 30 years. My sister was on the show a year back when I interviewed her. She's living in Florida now after we just get connected. And I got connected with my brother about 10 years ago. One of my other brothers was involved, and my sister was involved in the triple shooting at Carmichael Road. And two females were killed. Both of them were pregnant. My sister was actually 8 to 9 months pregnant, getting ready to abort. My brother was killed along in the house. That's a triple homicide at Carmichael Road. But it's actually five because the two of the females were pregnant. One was 9 months and the next, my brother's sister, she was like 3 months pregnant. So they didn't get classified as murder. So my brother was killed, his girlfriend was killed, and my sister was killed in the house in Carmichael Road. My next brother, he was devastated, and he, you know, was involved in trafficking. That was his thing because he lived on the family island. He got locked up on Montague. Some defense force officers pulled up on him, smoking on the boat, where he had at least about 300 pounds of weed. All right? They pulled up on him on the crew boat. They wasn't paying attention. And they were bought it. Drugs were found. And then they said that he gave me a call. I don't know who the defense force officers are, but he was on patrol. He gave me a call. He told me the situation and told me if I could call his boss. I don't want to get myself involved, okay? I told him I could do him this favor, but I don't want to get mixed up because I know the guys who he's dealing with are some very scummy guys, means that they can't be trusted. And he told me that the officers them say they need 30 grand. So I made the call. All right? I made the call. I called the boss, his boss. And the transaction was put in motion. Transaction was completed. And then my brother gave me a call. And he told me that everything worked out. And he was free. And the drugs, people were given back to them. Delvin Brennan, y'all go punch it up online and see his lockup in Cuba right now. And he is one of the biggest drug smugglers. He know the seed. And everyone in this country was working with my brother. All right? I ain't never tell you no lie. But when things like this happen, I'd speak on it because I wanted to show you the corruption in this country. I was corrupted when I was selling drugs. I was corrupted when I was hurting people. All right? And I was wrong. And I admit it. But I changed my life around. And I ain't standing for no evil. You know what they said? Mm-hmm. So, my people, I don't know what the Prime Minister is going to do. I don't know what the Commissioner is going to do because their words don't mean nothing. Honestly, to tell you the truth, their words don't mean nothing because they could have done something about it from a long time. And for me, to the Minister of National Security, this is nothing personal, sir. But you have failed to blame people miserably. Miserably. You have failed to address the officers who were charged with serious offenses in the country because they have a position of power. And you had the Prime Minister stating that your position no longer is going to attack you. So it has been going on, right? Didn't he admit it? And I've been saying it for a long, long time. But the prime minister just admitted. And he admitted. Listen again. Play it one more time for me, please. The thing with the prime minister. Okay, if you could. Just listen. It's been happening over and over. If you was a superintendent, you know what the superintendent is. What the ASP is. A poison who's in charge of a division, a district. So if he is a superintendent, just say, for East Creek, he has all those stations. He has four or five stations on this watch. And he's in charge of all those stations. And anything that goes on, drug busts or murders, he is called immediately from the officers that he's in charge of. It's the same thing that went on the airport. So no one's going to question a senior cop. So if you're a rookie cop and you see something wrong, you go try and talk about boss that wrong and all this. Or you'd end up in a pine box. You got to keep your mouth closed. You ain't see nothing, and go along with the program. Huh? Yeah, they fail. But don't wait to it, Chris, if you can't find it. Huh? You got it? Just listen to this one more time with the Prime Minister's stake.
There be no doubt. The Bahamian people deserve accountability for every act of betrayal committed during this time. The tree will be shaken until every bad apple falls. To those who believe they can outsmart the systems of justice and intelligence, let this serve as a clear and stern warning. The days of operating in the shadows are over. You will be found and you will be held accountable. To that end, I've directed the Minister of Foreign Affairs to issue a diplomatic note requesting further details about allegations involving a high-ranking Bahamian politician. Such allegations demand thorough investigation and no stone be left unturned in seeking the truth. Let there be no doubt.
The shadows. What do you think you're talking about the shadows? Remember I always tell you the invisible stuff? Remember I always tell you about the visible stuff? That's what I'm talking about, the shadows. So when he's saying the shadows, he's saying that, you know, you guys are senior officers and y'all using your position to shadow y'all illegal activities. That's a random thing on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And the reason why the Royal Bahamas Police Force is in the mess that it is at the end of the day is because of political interference. I always say this to you guys. Each party put their top cop in that position. Some don't even warrant to be commissioner of police. There are other officers on the force who deserve to be commissioner of police. And probably they'd be the right person for the job because they're not corrupted. But when you get appointed, right? All right, watch this. Let me give you a prime example I'm talking about. There's a lady, there was a strike at ZNS. And there was someone who came in as whoever take over ZNS or whatever the situation is. And the lady says, send this person reach. They started to victimize, and the ZNS was in a good place. So when this person who got appointed, probably by the PLP, they come there and disrupt everything. Everything they disrupt. And the woman said on national TV, she said that the individual said that, get with the winning team. That means get with the PLP. You understand? And he's victimizing and treating people bad at ZNS. He or she. It's on the news, right? And she said that, you know, he messed the moral up at ZNS. And that's what we're doing right today. Some of these people, a lot of good police officers out there who have integrity, but they will be denied promotion because they're not a part of these political parties. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, you're on Inside Inner City.
Scroogey, bro.
Good night, sir.
How's everything, my brother?
Everything all right, sir.
I love the conversation that you're having right now. And as some of us in this country, we don't care about political personalities. We don't care about political parties. We see the degradation of our country, the direction it's going in, the black eye, that even though you are a law-abiding, outstanding Bahamian citizen, but in the eyes of the world, it indicates or says that all Bahamians are wicked, evil, and corrupt. That is a major indictment on all of we as citizens in this country. You know, Scrooge, society tends to look and suspect the small man on the ground as being the villain or the evildoers. And yet, when it comes down to these persons in high places, and persons are afraid to call these names because there has been allegations that either you will be taken out.
Yes, sir.
You know, some person's hands won't get dirty, but they allow other people to take these people out.
Yes.
And all kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. The health of a nation is governed, is determined by the wealth of the nation in terms of the people. And if the people are acting out like this, whether it's out of desperation because society or in terms of the living conditions of this country is so harsh, so brash, so you know, it's so hard to live in this country that you, who once were perhaps determined to be a middle-class person, and when I say middle-class, I'm talking about, you know, your salary was able to carry you through. You were able to pay your bills. You were able to take care of your children. You're able to take vacation away from this place. Because I can tell you, taking time away from this island is very, very important.
Yes,
just to get away out of this society and go and relax your mind somewhere else and put yourself in a different environment so you can enjoy life, that is very important. A lot of people dismiss it, but it's very important. You can't even find money, even get off this island, to go and take a break, and you think that mental health is not on the increase in this country, we all will be delusional. But I'll tell you this one thing, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Until we address a lot of these persons in high places, and I'm being very succinct, because this is where a lot of the problems in our society is coming from, but people are afraid
to address
and touch these people.
Yes.
The problem that we have in this country is a double standard.
Yes, sir.
The double standard is, oh, it's the small man and the people who are in the middle who are doing all the stuff, but we want to overlook the people in high places. Listen, I am so happy, even though we all know that, there are persons in the United States government that is also corrupt.
Yes, sir.
But it takes an outside force
to come
to expose our stuff, whereas our people here know what's going on.
Right.
But because they are politically connected,
they
do not want to do anything about it.
Yes, sir.
You as a law-abiding citizen, me as a law-abiding citizen, we will continue getting the black eye.
Yes, sir.
Because everybody's afraid not to go after these people. Listen,
yes, sir.
I'll close. Until we get rid of the politics into a whole lot of these things, remove these people who are only interested in politics as usual.
Yeah.
They see the crime and not doing nothing about the crime, allowing people to run rampant.
Yes, sir.
And move these people and putting people who are really serious about saving this country, saving our reputation, and saving our lives as Bahamians on this planet, okay?
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say tonight.
Yes,
thank God for you. Thank God for your program. Thank God for every right-thinking Bahamian in this country. We have a country to save. Let's go there and save it. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. And he knocked the nail right on the head. Political appointees. And if we don't take the politics out of this, we doom. We doom. Cause the next, listen, that's a trading note. Like I say, the officer who get charged with indictment in America along with the defense force officer, they learned that from somebody. And even when we get rid of the asset, if we don't put the right mechanism in place to protect ourselves and to make sure that they could be held accountable, even though they're senior officers, that's why the commissioner failed. He could come on TV and talk all he wants. I don't know a personal agenda against the commissioner. But he had the power to say, we had about 10 senior officers in the last 3 years who have been involved or charged or being investigated for serious crime. And he's supposed to come down on them. You know? He's supposed to come down on them. Now all of a sudden, you know, we hearing a little ruckus. But this is your part of your organizing, these officers who you give the position to. Party members. And I said we all be humans, but I'm saying the party is killing it. The party, we all supposed to be humans, but the party is separating us. You know, like the caller said, they would allow corruption to go on, and they know that crimes are being committed. But because we all are party friendly environment, we turned out a cheek and we destroying the country. You know, the prime minister stating that, you know, he want private partners, he want international lab, no stone to be unturned, and et cetera, and et cetera. Well, we want to see that. We want to see that. We don't want to hear no talks no more. Because, like I said, y'all was pointing the finger at us on the streets. But when you look, the guys on the streets ain't bringing in those big loads like that, $2 million. And so if think about this, if they're getting paid $2 million, how much thing the... How much thing the shipment was worth? So if they're gonna give you $2 million, you know how much drugs that is? That just, man, listen, that's plenty. You know, to give you $2 million just to make sure it go through. Man, they must be probably looking at one. 50 million or 50 million or $100 million load. It could be a $200 million load, it could be a $500 million load of drugs. You know how much money that it is? Huh? Boy, listen. This is all I can say. Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Minister of National Security, Commissioner of Police, all y'all dropped the ball. You're supposed to target those officers, your friends, investigate them. But we can't even trust though. We can't even trust the what we call it now? The internal affairs at the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Because you're trying to tell me we get all this equipment, all this technology, and the internal affairs don't have the information, but who in America was able to gather all this evidence and put this thing in play from 2021? And the Bahamas government didn't know nothing about it. The Bahamas government didn't suspect officers. It's crazy. I know this is trouble. Because I have officers who come to me too, you know. I know this is trouble. Anyway, we're completely out of time. And I don't know what I can say. Tell you, I got some clothes out now. So I just can try. Let me see what I can say. That's the only thing I can tell you, people. Speak out. You see what's going on now? You can have a party, all right? But don't let the party confuse you for making the right decision, okay? Always keep your humanity. Always fight for what's right. And if there's something that is going on wrong, try your best to do something to address the situation, okay? Because the Prime Minister now and the Commissioner now, they're trying to address it. When they could address it a long, 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 long time. You know, all our lives at stake. Think about this, people. We have had so many senior officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force charged with so much serious offenses. Why is that? It's like that because they know they are protected and they could get away with it. Now, they cannot get away with it. Okay? So, I understand what the Prime Minister is trying to do. But he needs to apply it and put private, international, and private citizen on board to investigate corrupt officials and corrupt police officers. But for the decent officer there who doing your job, okay, y'all continue to do your job because we need you. We love you. We all behemoths. Don't think for a minute I'm against you guys. I'm against the corruption. And it's dangerous for us. So I'm closing the show tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scroogey. Host of the talk show that comes on every 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9. And we talk about problems that are facing us in the country. Ben Monroe, Minister of National Security, you dropped the ball, sir. You dropped the ball. You too need to resign. And the commissioner, to tell you the truth. Because y'all have failed. All these things happen under y'all watch. And it take a foreign entity from the U.S. And like the caller said, they have some bad apples in America. But they still did some proper investigation. And they're trying to help us in the Bahamas to get rid of corruption and make the Bahamas the way it's supposed to be. A prosperous, a loving, a caring nation. A crime-free nation. Okay? And we can become the best little small country in the world again. But we have to address the problems that we face in the country today. And it comes from our government, it comes from our police force, and it comes from us on the street as well. But remember, what affects the top trickles down to the bottom. So it only because it comes from the top, it ends up in the hands of the people who are at risk in the inner city community. So, hope to see you guys next week, Friday. If God spare life, enjoy your weekend, drive safe, and have a wonderful weekend. Good night, everyone.
Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke, Dayton.